Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Amen. Okay. Let me set this up this morning. There's a familiar story of a governor from Massachusetts named Christian Herder, excuse me. And he was running hard for his second term of office. And while he was campaigning, he was just really, really out all morning this one particular day chasing votes. In fact, he worked all the way through his lunch break, and he arrived in the early afternoon at a church barbecue. And again, he was really famished. He'd given so much energy that morning. And so as Herder moved through the serving line, he held out his plate to the woman who was serving chicken. And she put a piece of chicken on his plate and then turned to the next person. Governor Herder said, "You know, would you mind if I had another piece of chicken?" And the woman said, sorry. I'm just supposed to give one piece of chicken per customer." And he said, "Man, I'm really hungry. I'm really starving. Could you please maybe just help out?" And she said, "Sorry, one per customer. Next." So Governor Herder was known to be a modest and unassuming person, but he decided that he's going to throw his weight around just a little bit. He said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the governor of this state." To which she replied, "Do you know who I am? I'm the woman in charge of the chicken. Move along." So. Send him down the way. Now, we're going to come back around to that story here in a little bit. Today, we're going to be talking about authority. And the context of our conversation is the next example in the Gospel of John, as we've been systematically going through and looking at how Jesus uses this statement, this very interesting statement, these two words, amen, amen. And now for us to understand it, amen, and just kind of recap for those of you who are new to us or for the rest of us, just to refresh our memory. The word amen is a positive thing. We get it from the Hebrew, from where amen is used as an affirmation to say, "Let it be, I agree, this is so." Okay, and that's why in the New Testament we could call it truly, truly. And Jesus uses this word, but he uses it in a very unique way. Instead of putting it at the end of a statement or a prayer, when we get done with a prayer and we say, "Amen," we're saying, "Let it be. We are in agreement. This is true. Let this be truth." When Jesus says it before he makes statements. And he repeats it twice. And so it's very similar to a medieval heralder taking out a trumpet. Bum, ba, ba, bum. Hear ye, hear ye. And what's about to be disclosed is number one, important. Everybody say important. And number two, it is true. So I'm drawing your attention. Jesus, for him to say these statements, is getting the crowd to say, "Look, you need to listen because I have got some first-hand validation that what I'm about to say is true and what I'm about to say is important." Now, we've already looked at two instances of this. We're going to go to the third instance. But to set this up, it's very interesting because Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 5, if you have a Bible, please open it to the Gospel of John chapter 5. If you need a Bible app, I encourage you to maybe go on your App Store or your Google Play and get YouVersion. It's a really, really good one. It's what we use with our kids and whatnot. But in the Gospel of John chapter 5, we see this kind of an odd story, where there is this individual who's hanging out in one of the five porches near this pool that's outside of the Sheep Gate of Jerusalem. The Sheep Gate is where they brought the sheep into Jerusalem for sacrifice. Now, we've had some people who've traveled to Jerusalem. We've had some people who've been around and who've done some cool things. I'm sure that they could tell you a little bit about it. But Jesus goes to this individual who'd been there infirmed for 38 years. 38 years. He couldn't walk. He was laying there. He was waiting for something to happen. And Jesus comes to him and asks him a very odd question. "Do you want to be healed?" No, I just like to hang out here. Of course he wants to be healed. And he tells this story. He says, apparently there was something happened in this water where when the water was troubled, the first person to get in the water would have something miraculous happen in their life. I'm not really sure about this, if this was lore or if this was something factual. But Jesus comes to him, this guy who's been hanging out 38 years with no change in his life. No change in his condition. After 38 years, do you think you'd be frustrated? After 38 years of playing by the rules, after 38 years of doing something with no change, I think it kind of gets to him. Well, Jesus challenges him, and he says in verse 8 of chapter 5, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And so this individual does. Immediately, he is healed. Then Jesus kind of disappears. Well, what's very interesting is Scripture says that day was the Sabbath. And here we have a problem because Jesus says, take up your cot and walk. And so what's difficult is this is the Sabbath. And according to the Sabbath, according to Jewish law, you weren't to do any work. And so here Jesus seems like he's telling somebody to break the Sabbath. So this kind of gets everybody all upset, and the religious leaders come and confront the man, and he says, "Look, I don't know who did this." And a little bit later, Jesus finds him and says, "Okay, you're healed. Don't sin anymore, or something worse might come upon you." So the man kind of finds out that it's Jesus, and then relates to the religious leaders, "Jesus is the one who healed me." And there's this big uproar, this big dust up, where they're asking Jesus, "How dare you tell somebody to work on the Sabbath? On whose authority," everybody say authority, "are you doing these things?" And Jesus' answer is amazing. He says, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." And in saying so, he ascertains that he, in fact, is equal with God. He claims that he is the Son of God and that he is equal with God. Now, if you click the verse there, I'd go to the next one. John chapter 5, verse 20. Here's Jesus' response. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." It's a pretty fascinating thing. In other words, Jesus is kind of coming to him and pulling the chicken lady thing. And some of you are like, "You just called Jesus a chicken lady?" No. I'm saying that Jesus pulled authority card. Here they were saying, "Look, you can't do this. You can't do this. You got to follow these rules. You got to understand that this is how you're going to keep yourself. We got to follow the Sabbath. We got to understand that." Jesus is letting them know there's something a little bit deeper, that I actually have authority to do things that will confound your mind. Huh. Let's go on to this truly, truly. If we go down to verse 25, we can kind of unpack this a little bit. Jesus goes on to say, "Truly, truly, I say to you that an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of God, and those who hear will live." He's saying that he can go to the dead and bring them to life. In verse 26, he said, "For as the Father has life himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him," what's that word?
Authority.
Oh, come on, say it like you mean it.
Authority.
Authority to do what? To execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Really kind of complicated thing. What is Jesus getting at? Why does Jesus start this sentence by saying, "Truly, truly, amen, amen"? Because we look at this, and this is kind of freaky. In other words, Jesus can go and bring life to those who are dead. Going to walk into the funeral home and say, and they're going to get up. This is all about authority. This is about Jesus having authority over the things that we don't think he has authority over. He starts out this healing by saying, "Look, this is no big deal. Greater things than this. I'm going to do things. I'm going to do miracles. I'm going to do actions to cause you to understand that what I say is true." I want you to know that Jesus has real authority. So Jesus has all authority. Everybody say all authority.
All authority.
He has authority over life and death. Jesus has authority over who's getting into eternal life and who is going to eternal judgment. And I know we don't like to talk about eternal judgment because it makes us all uncomfortable. To which I say, good, it should. It should. Did you know Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven? Did you know that? You know why? He doesn't want anyone to go there. He came to bring us new life. So he has authority over life and death. In Matthew 28, something that we call as the Great Commission, Jesus says, and let's all read this together, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So how much authority does Jesus have in heaven and on earth? How much? So if you have all authority, what authority do you not have? None. And what is this realm? It's in heaven and earth, Jesus has all authority. That's why Jesus can speak a word and it happens. Jesus can go up to somebody who's been playing by the rules for 38 years, has tried everything and not been healed and say, pick up your mat and walk. This is all about authority. Jesus can come into your life, into your situation that you say, man, this is hopeless. I've always tried to be it. I just try and I just could never get over the hump. Nothing will ever happen. When Jesus speaks a word, it absolutely can happen. It absolutely can happen. Well, I've got this going on in my life, or I've got this obstacle that I can't overcome, or I've got this bondage that I can't shake free of. I've tried over and over and over again. I can't help it. I'm just a gossip. My mom was a gossip. Her mom was a gossip. I've been a gossip my whole life. It's just what's going to happen. I can never stop gossiping. When Jesus says, bam, yes, you can. And so many times in life, we put our faith, everybody say faith, in doubt. We are using our faith to empower doubt rather than to empower God that He is able. Jesus is saying, look, you gotta understand, I have so much authority that I can come to the dead and say, live. That's a pretty massive thing. Consider these claims that Jesus is making. He has authority over sickness. He has authority over hopelessness. He has authority over time. He has authority over social status. He has authority over broken heart. All of these things this gentleman was experiencing, Jesus just speaks a word. You speak a word and everything changes. You speak a word and everything changes. Man, if you're sitting here today and you're frustrated and you're ready to throw the towel in, understand this. He can speak a word and everything changes. Why? Because he has all authority. Now, this is interesting. There was an evangelist in 1936 named Watchman Nee. Pretty famous thing. He wrote a book called Normal Christian Faith, and he makes this argument in his book. I'd like to read it. A person who claims to be God must belong to one of three categories. Okay, so here Jesus is saying, I'm God. He's saying, look, I am equal with God. And so Watchman Nee is saying, look, if you claim to be God, you're one of three categories. First, if he claims to be God and yet in fact is not, he has to be a madman or a lunatic. Jesus was accused of being crazy. Second, if he's neither God nor a lunatic, he has to be a liar, deceiving others by his lie. Third, if he's neither of these, if he's not a liar and he's not a lunatic, so if he's not just being deceptive or if he's not just demented, then in fact he's God. You've got those three choices. He goes on to say, you can only choose one of these three possibilities. If you don't believe that he is God, you have to consider him a madman. If you cannot take him for either of those two, you have to consider him as a liar. There is no need for us to prove Jesus of Nazareth is God or not. All we have to do is find out if he is a lunatic or a liar. If he is neither, then he must be the Son of God. That was Watchman Nee's logic. Sadly, in our culture, we'd rather believe the masses of voices who declare that truth is whatever feels right. Gang, we live in that day and age where people declare truth is whatever feels right to them. That's why we can say, oh, it's my truth. And so we reject the authority. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
We reject the authority of God and establish and empower the authority of our emotions. Oh, I never do that. Yes, you do. We do it all the time. Who wants to argue with me? Because I'd love to debate. I am guilty. I am guilty of asserting my will over God's from time to time. Do I have anyone else who is in that same category? So I don't feel like I'm alone here in an island. Often. And Jesus is drawing attention to this in a pretty powerful way. He's wanting us to give our eyes and to look and consider His authority. This is why Jesus did miracles. To give evidence of His ability, but He will not. He will not. He will not remove all doubt. Remember the very first verily, verily statement is people had questions. And He said, you can still have questions and have faith. He says, because we have to approach God through faith, but He does give us enough. Jesus demonstrates His power. Has He demonstrated His power to anybody in the room here today? Has anybody ever, if you've experienced God speaking a word and changing something in your life, I want you to be bold. Just wave your hand. Okay, so we got some people here in this room who've experienced. I definitely have. So Jesus let the religious leaders know that He has power and He has authority. Now, here's how Jesus had His authority. This is my second point today, and it's important for us. Jesus was under authority. What? Well, wait, He has all authority. Yes, He has been given all power and authority. By who? By God. And yet, Jesus is God, isn't He? Kind of confusing there, isn't it? Oh, the blessed Trinity. Hard to understand. So, yes. In other words, Jesus was understanding this. I have all authority, but I'm submitting myself to my own authority. Now, that sounds like us. But He's literally saying, I recognize something better. Look at John chapter 5, 19 through 23. Here's what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. And greater works than these will He show Him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. So Jesus demonstrates to us the need to respond to authority. I want you to know something about this man who is being healed. What happens if he doesn't respond to Jesus' authority? He's sitting there on his mat 38 years. If Jesus says, stand up, take your mat, and walk, and the man says, doesn't stand up, does he going to recognize that he's healed? No. We have another encounter of Jesus with these 10 lepers, where He says, go, turn, go show yourself, you're healed. Show yourself to the priests. And it says that as they turned and went, they were healed. That there was their faith coming in line with the authority of God did something amazing. I believe with all of my heart that God offers deliverance for many of us. And the condition is that we just go walk in it. I believe that there are things that we hold on to and say, this is just who I am. This is just how I was forged. This is just me. And we are continually bound by these things. And I believe, with all sincerity, I can't communicate this, how much I believe this. He offers us deliverance if we would turn and respond to His authority. It's not that He can't heal. It's not that He won't heal. And it's not even that He hasn't healed. It's that we haven't walked in His healing. And it's not even about healing, because this is all not about healing. This is about submitting to authority. And so Jesus is saying, look, He's submitting to authority, but guess what? I'm submitting to authority. So Jesus demonstrates to us the need to respond to authority. Jesus submits to authority, and I want you to know that Jesus submitted to authority when it wasn't easy. And Jesus submitted to authority even when it's not what His humanness desired. Do you remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus prayed and he said this. I'm going to paraphrase. God, I'm really not looking forward to this. And if there's any other way, I'd like to do this another way. I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What is he saying? There are things in my life that I don't want to respond. Let me make this statement. Does everybody here really want to respond to God's authority 24/7? Let me phrase that a little bit differently. Because I think in our heart we really do want to. But do you ever have a conflict of interest that you want to do what you want to do and it might not be what God wants you to do? Here's where we are. John chapter 5, 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, and he has a comma there, see, he pauses, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Gang, sin has consequences. I'd love to tell you sin doesn't have consequences. That'd be a lie. Sin has consequences. We make a lot of our own drama. Amen, amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, I cause most of my own drama. In John, verse 24, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may do what? I highlighted and underlined that myself. Just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, let's all read that underlined, highlighted together. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So here's my final point today. Do you believe that Jesus has all authority? So do you believe that God's authority is absolute? Okay, now I've set you all up. Are we under God's authority? That's the takeaway for today. That's the takeaway for the day. Am I under God's authority? In every aspect of my life. You see, I believe that the Christian walk is in fact a wrestle to submit to God's authority. Because I think we do it in phases. I think we continue wrestle. And I guarantee you, as a teenager, there was one set of issues. As a 20-year-old, there was another set of issues. And I continued to now in my 30s. You know, I got that. Okay. I just seeing if you're awake. No, there's a continue wrestle to submit to God's authority. And so my message for you today is this. If He is God, we are to obey. So if He is God, we are to obey. We are to obey God. And a lot of people believe, but don't obey. A lot of people say, oh yeah, I believe in God. I want you to know something. The devil believes in Jesus. Demons believe in Jesus. There are people who believe in Jesus. There are people probably in this room who believe in Jesus, but do not submit to His authority. Well, Pastor, we're under grace. You're right. You are under grace. And what does it say of our relationship with the Father that says, I want eternal life, but I have no desire to have your authority in my life? Gang, that's dangerous ground. That is dangerous ground. James says, faith without works is dead. And so my message today is, I think I want to shine a spotlight to some dead faith. Now, if you're sitting here today and you're really happy and you're a good church member, but you have no use for God's authority in your life, I hope I tick you off today. I hope the back of your neck is like, man, I'm getting mad at that preacher. Here's why. Not because I'm really enjoying for you to get mad, because I want you to wake up to this truth. God's authority is not optional. And the best life, some of us are just going to continue hanging out in our porch. Sitting there on our mat, Jesus is going to walk by. Do you want to be healed? Yeah, I want to be healed. Okay. Do this. Do what I say to do. Meh. Meh. Everybody do that. Meh. Meh. And we could have taken up our mat. We could have walked away. We could have massive change in our lives. That's what Christ is offering us. The lordship of Christ equals obedience plus belief. He's a good teacher to us. But if that's all Jesus is a good teacher, boy, you're missing the best. C.S. Lewis says it like this. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. Let's stand to our feet. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for seasons of grace that you give to us. And Lord, I pray that today that we would be shaken a bit, that those of us who are kind of slumbering in our faith, Lord, that we would get that gentle and yet sometimes firm grasp that you're trying to cause us to come to places of understanding and alertness. Father, the time is short. The hour is late. And Lord, we don't want to miss opportunities. I pray, God, for those individuals in the room who continue to be bound and buffeted by Satan's lies that they can never change. Lord, I expose that lie of the enemy. I pray, God, for those who have heard the word but have been lackadaisical in applying it. And for all of us, God, we want to submit to your authority. We want your authority to reign in our lives. So, Lord, we lift up our hands to you today in surrender and submission and say, we're grateful that you're our Savior. Lord, be our Lord. We love you. Father, I pray this in Christ Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.